For anyone familiar with the Bible, it's amazing to see how many echoes of the scriptures there are in the writings and speeches of Abraham Lincoln. Historian and author Dr. Stephen Mansfield is a New York Times bestselling author. One of his books is called Lincoln's Battle with God. In a previous discussion, Dr. Mansfield has provided an overview on the subject and will link to that discussion. But today we want Dr. Mansfield to come back to discuss the Bible and Lincoln's speeches. If we just cover the Gettysburg Address and the second inaugural address by Lincoln, I'm sure we will have accomplished much. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Mansfield, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for bringing me back. I'm looking forward to it very much.
Sure. Well, first, as a global observation, would it be fair to say that Abraham Lincoln read the Bible, as much as anybody, just about?
Oh, he was a voracious consumer of the Bible, even when he went through seasons where he didn't believe it. He loved the language. He was enamored of the King James Bible. And as we're going to explore here in a moment, he used its cadences and its references freely in his speeches, which, of course, appealed to a people who were very immersed in the Bible at that time. So, yes, no question. He was a voracious reader of scripture and a lover of its language.
Many Americans are familiar with the quote, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." They think, oh, Abraham Lincoln made that up out of whole cloth or something. But if you know the Bible, you know that comes from the Bible. And I know Lincoln knew it came from the Bible. And I know his hearers, for the most part, knew it came from the Bible. But we're kind of a biblically illiterate society today, unfortunately. And we suffer for that, I think.
We do. And, you know, what Lincoln specialized in was taking language that had to do with spiritual realities and applying them to political realities, so to speak. When he said, for example, that Satan's house, Beelzebub's house, if it was divided, could not stand, that's what scripture says. But Lincoln applied it to a nation divided over slavery. And the people in his day were so thoroughly immersed in scripture. They had moved out into the West with Fox's Book of Martyrs, Shakespeare, and the King James Bible in their wagons, and that's what they read voraciously. So they were, in one sense, a very highly literate people and used very airy Elizabethan phrases in their speech. And Lincoln, of course, was the master of that.
47 years ago is a fancy way of saying 87 years ago, which words were spoken in 1863, and they hearken back to 1776, the Declaration of Independence. So let's talk about the Bible and its impact on the Gettysburg Address.
Well, there's no question that Lincoln, even it's interesting, in the 272 words of the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln never actually quotes scripture. And yet, anyone who's biblically literate, particularly in the King James Bible, would know that to say 47 years ago is a quote from, or at least a reference to, Psalm 90, which in the King James Bible tells us that our lifespan is 70. In other words, there's a reference to using the words score. Lincoln knew what he was doing. He was referring to the life of a nation thus far as of the Gettysburg Address and then what would follow. So time and again, he did this. He talked about the new birth of freedom. Well, everybody in his audience knew what the new birth was biblically, and they were able to understand it when he applied it to a nation. And by the way, one of the more interesting parallels is that Lincoln referred to government of the people, by the people, for the people. Well, this is a quote from an introduction to a Wycliffe English Bible translation that Lincoln, we know he had a copy of, he had access to it. So he may even have gotten that famous phrase, not from the words of the Bible itself, but from a famous introduction to Wycliffe's translation of the Bible. So in just 272 words, which is barely two paragraphs by modern standards, Lincoln made repeated reference to biblical truth that his listeners would have understood.
You know, that point about Wycliffe is a very important one. Wycliffe has been described as the morning star of the Reformation. He comes about 100 years or so before it. His translation of the Bible into English was the first major translation. It was based not on the original, Hebrew and Greek, but rather the Latin Vulgate, but it was very significant. And so that's a very interesting point. What about the other themes that we find in the Gettysburg Address? How do they tie in perhaps to the Bible?
Well, one of the most famous is that Lincoln, when he went to Gettysburg, he stayed with a family named Willis, or Wills, and it was while he was wrestling that very last night before he gave the speech that he just felt like something was wrong. It just something wasn't quite right. And then he added the words "under God," one nation under God. This is not necessarily a biblical allusion, but it certainly is shaped by biblical truth. And it's interesting that Lincoln didn't feel like he could really deliver the Gettysburg Address. He was up late at night pacing and wrestling with himself until he made God part of this nation that was being given a new birth in this great war. So I think that's highly significant that though Lincoln had his seasons of doubt and disbelief, as we know, and of course I've written a book about that, and one of my favorite books I've had a chance to write. It's intriguing that Lincoln just couldn't be satisfied until the two words "under God" were part of the great Gettysburg Address.
It is amazing too when you're saying that it's so brief, 272 words. In fact, it used to be that a lot of times, sometimes high school students would be required to memorize the entire Gettysburg Address and so forth. But any last point you want to make about the Gettysburg Address, and then we'll move on to the second inaugural.
Well, I think what's interesting is that there's a little famous story that your listeners might know, and that is that at the ceremony at which Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, a famous orator named Edward Everett spoke just before Lincoln, and he went for 2 hours. He spoke for two solid hours at that ceremony, and Lincoln spoke for 2 minutes. And afterwards, Edward Everett said to Lincoln, "I wish that I had come as close to the meaning of our nation in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes." So that's not necessarily a biblical, a look at something biblical regarding the speech, but I think it's telling that given that Lincoln had the skill of boiling down his language and using biblical references, at least broadly, he hit the mark far better than a famous and skilled orator who took 2 hours to get his point across.
Brevity is the soul of wit, and I think the Gettysburg Address is a great example of that. All right. On March 4, 1865, after a brutal reelection campaign, which he absolutely won, Lincoln gave his second inaugural address, and the war was winding down, and there was a goal for healing, and there are definitely biblical themes in that, even biblical quotations. So you're feel free to wax eloquent on that speech.
Well, I like something that happened right after the speech. Let me tell this first, tell it in reverse. A friend of Lincoln's, after he gave the speech, asked him if he thought it would play well with the American people. He said, "Probably not." And the friend said, "Why?" And Lincoln said, "Because people do not like being shown the gap between themselves and God." And so this is what Lincoln understood himself to be doing. And it's very interesting. In the first inaugural address, Lincoln had said, you know, to the South, for example, "In your hands and not mine is the great issue of civil war." He spoke entirely as though human decisions determined the war. But in the second inaugural address, Lincoln has lived for 4 years through war. He has seen the providence of God in action. He has watched battles be lost that should have been won. He has been frustrated with generals. He's even said, "If General McClellan is not going to use the army, I would like to borrow it." He was so frustrated at the inability of his generals to press the war. And Lincoln came to conclude that the war was visited on the American people by God, that it was judgment by God for slavery and for the abuse of the black man. I consider this the greatest American political sermon, because in the sermon, Lincoln essentially preaches. Again, he has come to the conclusion that the nation has endured war as a judgment from God. Lincoln is calling the people, calling Americans to understand God's purposes and to recover their land from the devastations of war. And so he quotes scripture. He quotes the scripture that offenses will come in this life. He talks about the judgments of God and how if we read scripture, we become familiar with how God works. And what I'm saying here, he says, is not uncommon in terms of how we read scripture and understand God's judgments. And so he quotes scripture three or four times and speaks of the will of God and even criticizes the South for how can they pray to a God while at the same time they are expecting to wring their living from another man's sweat. I mean, it's just a very firm, hard-hitting, almost Old Testament prophetic kind of approach. And Lincoln understood what he was doing. So then having, in his opinion, sort of proclaimed God's purposes in the war, he then calls for healing. He calls for restoration. He calls for healing of the land. So Lincoln, who himself wrestled with his faith during most of his life, but in his White House years really deepened and really drank deeply of the sermons at New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, the church he attended in D.C., I think he really proclaimed the purposes of God and the healing of God for the land in that sermon. And I highly recommend that everybody listening here read that great second inaugural speech. It's the shorter, one of the shortest of his political speeches, can be read in a few minutes, but it is absolutely transforming and one of the most powerful political sermons we've ever had.
And what about the call for national healing and forgiveness, you know, with malice toward none and charity toward all?
Well, even though these aren't direct biblical quotes, they are biblical ideas. In other words, Lincoln knows that just the cessation of hostilities will not alone heal the land. He has to speak to the issues of the heart. No malice, turn towards charity. Let's bind up the wounds. Now, there's a biblical phrase. Let's bind up the wounds. In other words, let's go internal. We have the cessation of hostilities. The political realities are largely determined. But now let's bind up the wounds. Let's heal the land. Let's restore. All of this comes. These are concepts that come from the Old Testament prophets. And Lincoln would have had those phrases poured into his life with his mother's milk. They were part of every day of his life. And so I think, again, he sees himself something. He wouldn't have called himself a prophet, but he definitely saw himself in this sermon, in this political sermon, as speaking the case of God. And the very idea that you can heal a land, that you can restore a people to God's purposes, this is all biblical truth pouring through Abraham Lincoln. And I'm grateful that he gave it at that time. By the way, just a few weeks before he was assassinated.
It's interesting, too, Dr. Daniel Dreisbach of American University, he's actually even written whole essays about this, and he calls the second inaugural address Lincoln's 700 words of biblical meditation. It's really kind of along the same lines of what you're saying. There's at least three direct Bible quotes. I remember in reading it, there on the plaque, chiseled in stone in the Lincoln Memorial, I thought, oh man, nobody should tell the ACLU about this. There's Bible verses right here, national property here.
Exactly. I know a professor who decided to take Lincoln's second inaugural address. The man had to do part two of a biblical survey class. And he had his class break down the biblical roots of every phrase of Lincoln's second inaugural address. And the reason he did that was it would make it relevant and interesting to the students, but it also sent them to almost every chapter of scripture. In other words, to provide support for the idea of healing the land, malice, charity, restoring a nation. He took all those themes and made his students research them in scripture and provide biblical proof for it. And he said those students delved more into scripture than they did in a 66-book Bible survey. So the point is that this simple political inaugural speech that I think is one of the great political sermons, touches on almost every major theme of scripture.
Dr. Mansfield, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. StephenMansfield.tv for more information. Thank you. All the best.
So welcome. Thank you.